So it's good to be with you this morning, and it's interesting, I want to talk to you about prayer. So if you turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, Colossians 4 at verse number 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace. That's a great message right there. Season with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. And so, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us in this time together, that you will take your word and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. And as always, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you're our rock and our redeemer. In your name, amen. Many years ago, when we were in Kansas City attending Nazarene Theological Seminary, there was this advertisement, I'm not quite sure what it was, but it said these simple words, "What do you want on your tombstone?" I mean, it was like that for several weeks, you know. What do you want on your tombstone? And it kind of, what are they talking about? There wasn't anything that would give you any indication as to what it was or who was doing it. It was just these signs, billboards. Sometime there was one of those, those traveling signs. People put a sign on a truck and they travel with it. I mean, it was like that. So, you know, for weeks we were trying to, what is that about? And of course it generated a lot of conversation. So what do you want on your tombstone? I mean, if you ever did a Google about that, tombstone sayings or things like that, you'll find all sorts of stuff. Limericks. I'm not going to share any limericks with you this morning. Some things are pretty good. Some things are pretty funny. Some things are pretty rough and crude. But I found one that I want on my tombstone. Are you ready for this? I already told Jackie. She already knows about it. It's great. Here we go. Are you ready? It's very deep. You'll have to think about it a little bit. So it's profound. It's worth the price of a whoopie pie. Here it is. Are you ready? Here's what I want on my tombstone. I told you I was sick. Is that great? I mean, shouldn't that be on every tombstone? I told you I was sick. We haven't even figured out what's on tombstone. But actually, it was tombstone pizza. That's what they were having. How many of you ever have tombstone pizza? So it's Kansas City. So they're advertising tombstone pizza. And there's another great pizza place, a chain in Kansas City called, you're going to laugh at this, Godfather's Pizza. So I don't know if Godfather's and tombstone kind of went together, but I thought that was kind of a good thing. So what do you want in your tombstone? What's that got to do with prayer? Well, if you jump down a few more verses in chapter 4, you'll read about really the person who was very instrumental in bringing the gospel to Colossae. And his name was Epaphras. And Epaphras, in verse number 12, "Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured." It's interesting, the church board and myself, we're reading scripture together, and we're reflecting what God has said through his scripture to our own hearts about us, not about anyone else, but about us. It's one of the ways that I feel is significant for us to walk together as a board, because we want to be in the place where we hear from God about us first, before we hear from God about others. And so it's a great thing. So each one, when we meet, each one has an opportunity to share a passage of scripture. And I was been working on this message, and I didn't say anything to Niles, and he doesn't even know this until now. But Niles mentioned that wrestling in prayer passage was one of the things that spoke to his heart. And so when you talk about wrestling, the word means to zealously contend. It doesn't, you know, it's not like you beat people up kind of thing, but it's a focus of intention and intensity and intercessory prayer, where it's you have zeal. You it's like It's like something that you think about a lot, not in a legalistic way, but something that just there's passion. I guess that's the best word. There's passion in wrestling in prayer with someone. And so I began to think, you know, some people probably feel intimidated by that. You know, I mean, sometimes people think that, you know, I can never be a wrestler in prayer. But you can. You can. And what happens many times is we start thinking about, you know, stories that we've been told of people who've woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning, they pray for hours and hours and hours before they begin their day. And I don't know how well you are waking up in the morning. Or sometimes we read about stories of people who, before they go to bed at night, they're kneeling and they're just praying. And there was a time in my life when I was trying to do that. You know, you try to figure things out, right? And so all I did was remember I started to pray on my knees by my bedside. Next thing you know, I'm trying to wake up. I mean, it's just, you know, so we get intimidated by that. But I just want to encourage you today that this summer is a great opportunity for you and I to expand and deepen our prayer lives. When Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, he's not just saying, you know, spend extra time in prayer. He's not just saying, you know, focus on prayer really hard. He's not saying that. The word devote means to, you know, to give full attention and to be, you know, to have intentionality and I guess a level of intensity. What Paul is really saying there is to devote yourselves to what happens when you devote yourselves to prayer. So in other words, it's not just devoting yourselves to prayer, but it's devoting yourselves to the results of being devoted to prayer. So that means you have to be watchful. And you have to be thankful. The word watchful, Paul was talking a little bit about the Old Testament of people who were watchmen on the walls of the city or near the city gate. They had watchmen on the walls so they could tell if an enemy was approaching or they could tell when, you know, it was time, you know, when the sun was starting to rise, the morning was starting to come. And they had some very, very important responsibilities. So they were alert. They were aware. It was their time to keep on guard, and it was their time to watch for things and to listen for things. And they began to, well, I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, if you're walking around late at night and it's dark, I mean, in Quincy, we have light pollution, so there's just no way you can find a dark area. But out here, right, it can get pretty dark at night. And it's amazing if you just stay in the darkness for a little bit, it's amazing that you can begin to see, not a lot, so you can become a little more aware of your surroundings, right? I mean, years ago, we used to rent Camp Good News down in Forestdale, down in the Cape. And there was a pathway that went from the chapel up to where two cabins were. And it was well known that every once in a while, you know, one of the teens would ask to go to the restroom, and we knew what was going to happen. They just wanted to walk back to the cabin. So we would have this, you know, routine, everyone would take turns, two of us at a time. We just kind of walk on the trail and just kind of stand back where the tree line was and just wait to make sure no one would come. And at first, the first time I did it, I'm thinking, you can't see a thing. But after a while, things took shape a little bit. You could see shapes and things like that. So you could actually stand there. You could blend in with the darkness. You know, we would wear dark clothing, obviously. You could blend in with the dark. I mean, we didn't have anything, you know, on our face or anything like that. We're not that militant. But we would just kind of stand there, and sure enough. I mean, it's supposed to be quiet. And then you hear a couple of, you know, teens talking. They're starting to walk the trail. And we just kind of, you know, we just can't wait because I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I'll tell you anyways. Confession's good for the soul. And if we're going to confess, I'm going to confess here, right? With all these elders around. So they would come right up to us, and we didn't have to jump or anything. All we did was, what are you doing here? I mean, it was like, ah! It was, I'm sorry, it was great. It really was. I'm just confessing. I'm a youth pastor, right? So It's just good stuff. And after a while, obviously, they didn't do that anymore. But it was amazing to me how you could actually begin to see, you know, That's the kind of watchfulness that Paul is talking about here. I'm not hanging out in the woods on Camp Kids, but it's the kind of awareness, having being in just in this sync with God, to be aware of things and to be watchful for things. And then the word thankful is Eucharisto, or we get the Eucharist. It means to be grateful in the grace of God. So Paul was saying, don't just devote yourselves to prayer, but devote yourselves. Be aware that when you pray, there's going to be some things that are going to happen. And you need to be aware of that so you can be engaged in the results of being engaged in prayer. Does that make sense? So that means that you and I can be wrestlers in prayer. When I was a youth pastor in Lowell many years ago, my teens, we went on a journey through the summer of developing our prayer life. Because like many typical people, their prayer lives were need-based. You know, oh Lord, help me with this, help me with that. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, we do that, right? We pray for our needs. But I began to see that they didn't have a healthy balance in their prayer life. So it was, you know, we pray for this situation, pray for that situation, usually about them, once in a while about another situation or circumstance. So we began to work on a way that we could develop our prayer life together as a group. So I did the, you know, ACTS, acronym ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. Only in supplication we turn that to intercession. I wanted them to have a more balanced prayer life. I wanted them to get away from self-centered prayers and you know, prayers about themselves, which is not, I'm not saying that's wrong. We need to pray for God to help us, right? But I wanted them to find a balance. So we began to do this adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and intercession. It was great. I mean, we spent the whole summer working on that, and I was reminded about it when we were at District Missions Convention, and on Thursday morning, Jerry Perry led us into an hour time of prayer. And sometimes people think, I could never pray for an hour. Oh, my goodness, 5 minutes and I'm just about done. And so she led us through this reflection of scripture passages and music and prayer concerns. And, you know, it was divided into world areas and it was divided into all sorts of things. And it was great. And the hour, I'm serious, the hour goes by like this. I mean, it just... And it's not necessarily that time goes by quickly. What I'm saying to you is that's part of wrestling in prayer, to spend time in prayer. So I want to encourage you this summer to be engaged in experimenting in prayer. So I have some pieces of paper I'm going to give to you here. And Dallas, you can help me. And I just need some help in making sure everyone gets one of these. Just kind of pass them down the row there. There you go, John. Thanks. Anyone else want to? Oh, Sue, you were busy this morning. So, but just kind of pass them around. Just pass them around. Make sure everybody gets a piece of paper. And let me get some over here. You know, if I was a youth pastor, I'd just go like this. But I'm not going to do that. Just kind of pass them back there. Pass them around, and that'd be great. Prayer experiments. Now, you can do these, you know, once again, these are just encouragements. So if you're a list person, that, you know, you're the kind of person that says, well, I'm going to do all these, you know, this week. Just don't do that. I mean, don't even do that. Everybody have one? Everybody have one? All right. So anyone can do this. So this is just an encouragement for you to spend this summer. You know, summer is a good time to try to develop new patterns or new things in our spiritual formation. And prayer is a very important part of spiritual formation, right? And so when we pray for others, this is what happens. When you begin to do this, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Did you get one? Ah, you didn't get one, did you?
No, I'm Shelley's husband.
Oh, great. That's good to meet you. Thank you. I'm doing good. You never know who you're going to meet in church, right? That's great. So I'm just going to kind of run through these really quick. Obviously, start and end each day in prayer. I know that's a no-brainer, but it's a great habit to develop. Begin offering yourself to... I mean, you know, do you have a schedule for the day? I know you do, probably. or many of you, even when you're retired. I mean, you all of a sudden, wow, I thought I didn't have to do all these things anymore. But there's a schedule, right? So what you're saying here is, God, I have a schedule, but I want to be on your schedule. It's not that my schedule's bad. It's just I want to make sure I'm on your schedule. You know, we're Wesleyans. We believe in the prevenient grace of God. That means God is at work all around us. The old word was wooing us. You know, before you became a follower of Jesus Christ, God's Spirit, believe it or not, God's Spirit was already at work in your life. When we put these names here, we're praying that God would work in their lives. God's Spirit's at work all around us. Amen? I mean, he really is. He's at work all around us through his Holy Spirit. And so we get to be a part of that journey. So, I mean, it kind of takes the pressure off. I'm not saying, you know, it's free and easy things, but we let God do his work, and we want to be involved where God is being involved in. So it's just really great. And as you begin to pray and develop you expand your prayer life, and you begin to focus on others, you'd be amazed how you see God is at work in the lives around you. I don't have time this morning to talk to you about Paul's testimony to Agrippa and Festus. He was saying, you know, when Jesus appeared to him, says, Paul, why are you kicking against the goads? You know, the goad was a cattle, kind of a prong thing where, you know, the people would try to, well, those who own cattle would try to, you know, get their cattle moving a little bit as they were plowing the land. And so it was a prod. And so Paul, you know, Jesus was saying to Paul, why are you kicking against the prodding of my spirit? And I could spend more time there. But anyways, start and end each day in prayer. Number two is pray the newspaper. And I don't know if you read the newspaper anymore. I kind of do once in a while. But pray for the news and the newspaper. Let me tell you something. There's a lot to pray for there. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Whether you do it online or do the news stories, whatever, there are some pretty rough situations that need God's touch, right? Doesn't matter where you are on the political spectrum. I could care less about that. It's about where you want God to be, God to be at work. And so you pray for the news, and however you do it, let God do his work, because God's at work, right? God's at work all around us, so I know he's at work in these situations. Pray for people you pass by. As mentions Frank Laubach. Frank Laubach was a missionary educator from the 1930s, and it was one of his, I guess, life goal was he wanted to make sure everyone could read. I mean, he felt that was, he was considered to be the father of the modern literacy movement. He felt that if everyone could learn to read, they could improve their situation in life. So he would talk about this, trying to be aware of God in every situation. So what he would do as he traveled, he would pray for people around him. Didn't know their names, so he was traveling by rail or by steamship. That was back in the 30s. He would lift them in prayer. And every once in a while, he wrote about it in his journal, every once in a while, someone would engage him in a spiritual conversation. I mean, it's just crazy. One time I was riding in a coach, and there was a lady sitting across me, and I was praying for her. I mean, he wasn't standing up going like this. He was just lifting her in prayer. And she said to him out of the blue, I am not going to follow God. I don't care what you say. He didn't say anything. I mean, so he got these conversations, and I could tell you more about that. But if you do that, it's amazing what happens. Number four, politics as usual. You know, what would happen if you began to intercede for politicians, our president, our governor, state senator, I mean, the list there, engage in this on a daily basis. Number five is the list. So if you develop a list and pray specifically by name for your coworkers or family members or employees or your boss or your supervisors or the students in your class or teachers or whatever. Number six, this is a challenge. The bills. Now, I'm not saying pray for your bills. I mean, we want to do that. But pray for the companies that you pay your bills to. I bet no one does that. I mean, yeah, right. So, I mean, do we ever pray for those companies? I did that once. National Grid sent a note saying, hey, I'm praying for you guys. They said, oh, thank you. 3 months, free utilities. No, it didn't happen. I'm just kidding. You're looking at me like, did he really do that? Whoa. No wonder he became the DS. That's got nothing to do with that. I wonder that too, but that's a whole other story. But pray, you know, pray for the companies in prayer. Ask God to transform them. The places you shop or whatever that you, I mean, you can go there. Number seven, hooray for Hollywood is another challenge. You know, pray for those who are involved in the movie industry and actors and actresses. When I was pastoring in South Weymouth, I would always encourage my people. Sunday night would be those, you know, the Grammys and the Emmys and the Oscars and, you know, the Dallases, all these kinds of, you know, award programs they would have. And so I would encourage my people. Now, they weren't happy necessarily about this. You mean, Pastor Ken, you're telling me that you want us to watch these programs? I said, yes. Someone's got to pray for them. And you need to know what's going on in their life. Because God is the author of creativity, right? We have a creative God. I mean, you look around you. What a creative God we have. And so I just believe that once again, God is at work all around us. And so I encourage people to start praying for actors and musicians and all that. Number eight, I talked to you about that before. You know, pray for your doctors by name. Pray for your hospital. Pray for your pharmacist. Do you ever do that? Pray for your pharmacist by name. Even if you do it by mail order, pray for that company. Number nine, that's the music part. There are a lot of non-Christian artists who are searching for meaning and significance in their life. Maybe your prayer would open the door for a conversation to happen with someone else. Number 10, you know, what's on the menu? Pray for those who serve you at the restaurant. Most servers, they don't have to, they do give you their name, but they probably have their name tag there. I mean, that's an easy thing to pray for them. Sometimes maybe God might say, you might be led to say, hey, you know, we're going to thank God for the food. Is there anything we can pray for you for? I mean, people, I've never known anyone to say, no, get out of the restaurant. You can't do that. Sometimes people will say, no, thank you. But others would say, yeah, we're kind of having some struggle in my family. Could you just pray for that? And yeah, I mean, you don't stand up and lift them in prayer, but you just, you know, as you pray for them. And number 11 is about the schools. Pray for your local schools. Pray for teachers, administrators. And I know, you know, summer vacation's coming, but you can lift them too. I used to, there used to be a store that had these, you know, the T-shirts with colleges on it, right? So I have, years ago, I had a North Carolina one, and I had one, you know, Boston College and Miami, Oregon. I just got what's on sale, right? So it didn't matter what school they were. But at one time, the Lord, I would say, convicted me about lifting. So I'm wearing a North Carolina T-shirt, so I need to pray for University of North Carolina. I don't know any details about it. I just say, Lord, I'm praying for this university and safety of students or whatever. You know, Miami. I mean, so that's kind of a cool thing. So you're wearing a T-shirt of a college. You begin to pray for that. I'm telling you, you look at me like, what are you, off the wall? No, I'm telling you, this begins to really expand and develop your heart of prayer. I'm telling you, I already said that. Number 12, rescue me. Pray for your local firefighters, police officials, rescue personnel. If you know the names of the fire chief or the police chief, lift them up in prayer. I mean, every once in a while, it wouldn't hurt for you to send a note saying, hey, we're praying for you, and thank you for doing what you do, and pray for shelters and food pantries and places that provide services for people. Pray. I know you pray for Rise Again Outreach. I mean, that's just right across the street. That's part of who you are. Number 13 is a prayer walk. What would happen if you started walking around your neighborhood and just lifted people? And I'm not saying that you walk around going like this. You just walk around your neighborhood. Ask God to show you things about your neighborhood, what's going on in your neighborhood. It's prayer walking. It's great. I mean, it really is. It's healthy for you, too. Eat your whoopie pie and walk at the same time. It's just a good thing. And then, you know, other things. Same team, lift up the churches in the hip. Neighborhood, volunteer agencies, missionaries and agencies. Number 17 is NEMA, which we talk about at Assembly all the time. You know your neighbors by name, pray daily for them by name, and respond sensitively and sensibly to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And then there's a few other things there that you can add your own list. But Paul says, be watchful, be thankful. The other two things he shares in that passage is be wise and be ready. And it's just a great passage of scripture. So I want to encourage you during this summer to ask God to help you learn what it means to wrestle in prayer. It's a great thing. And I know you're praying for the church. I know you're praying for the leaders. I know you're praying for Dallas and Kristen and lifting them up in prayer. And I know you're praying for others who are involved. And I just want to encourage you to just be a wrestler in prayer. You can do it. I mean, you really can. I know you probably think, I just can't. Yes, you can. You can take a couple of these. You can choose today. You can decide, well, I'm going to work on 1, 5, and 9. I don't know, this week. Or I'm going to work on 2 and 4 this week. Or I'm going to work. I mean, I know what I would do sometimes is I look at the list and I try to cram the whole list. And don't do that. I mean, some of you like lists. Those kinds of things. Just don't do that. Just pick a few and begin to do it. And I am telling you, and I keep saying that, but I'm telling you, watch what God does in your prayer life. Watch how your heart will be expanded. And before you know it, you'll be kind of doing this in just very natural ways. And then you will devote yourselves to prayer. So you'll be engaged in the results of being engaged in prayer. I'm telling you, it's just amazing. One time I was doing that, I went to a hospital, this idea of praying for people around you, and I'm going to end with this because I want to get a whoopie pie. So I was praying for people. I went to the hospital with a family. It was early. They had to have, she was going to have some surgery, the mom. And so we got there early. And so we prayed together as family. And she went in for the prep time. And so the family and I, we went down to the cafeteria. And so I'm just praying for the cafeteria workers. There's not many, only a couple. And there were two guys on the grill that were doing the eggs and those kinds of things. And so I was just lifting them up in prayer. So I gave them, this is true, I gave everything I say is true, really. So, well, except if I say I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding on this. So I see the whoopie pies out there, so I got to hurry. So anyways, I'm praying. I didn't have my eyes closed, but I'm lifting these two men up in prayer. I gave my order, and one guy said to the other guy, I wasn't dressed up in a tie or anything. I mean, it just, they didn't know who I was. One guy says to the other, so, are you going to go to church with me this Sunday or not? No kidding. I'm kind of an exuberant person. So I said, well, that's a great question. I like to hear that answer. And they looked at me like, where'd you come from? And they started talking about it. That day I was out waiting for someone to come and pick someone up. And I was standing next to a lady who had some things, obviously. It was either her daughter or her son in their family gave birth to a baby. So she was holding these things and she's standing next to me. And this is what she said. I'm serious. She says to me, I said, well, congratulations. She says, well, thank you. She says, I'm hoping that my daughter will get back to church. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'll pray with you about that. What's her first name? And now this, I don't want you to think this happens all the time because it doesn't. But when you begin to ask God, because see, God's at work all around us. I'm not making this stuff up. God is at work all around us. And when we try to get on board with what he's doing, you'd be amazed the opportunities that you and I will have to be engaged in his kingdom work. Epaphras, he is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. So what do you want on your tombstone? Lord, thank you for this time that we gather together today. Thank you for this opportunity, God, to think about expanding our prayer lives and the emphasis in our service today about praying for people, praying for those who are gathered around the altar, praying for one another. As Niles shared with us from the board, to find a place where we can be still and be in prayer. These are so very important aspects, God. I know you are at work all around us. So thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share together. As we leave to go into our discipleship groups, I pray, God, that you will speak to our hearts. As we enjoy the food of whoopie pies, thank you, God, for all those who are involved in this very special remembrance of our fathers. And we love you. We look forward, God, to what you're going to do in our hearts and in our lives as we follow after you. We commit this to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think you're dismissed, right? I mean, I can do that. So you're dismissed. Enjoy your whoopie pies. Good to see you.